From the Blue Ridge Mountains to the Chesapeake Bay, Virginia is a mecca for outdoor travel and adventure. Virginia Outdoor Adventures podcast is the ultimate guide for local outdoor recreation, including hiking, camping, kayaking, and so much more. Get the information and the inspiration to plan your own adventure right here in Virginia. I'm your host, Jessica Bowser. When was the last time you looked up at the night sky? There are few experiences quite like stargazing that can help us realize our place in the vast and brilliant universe. Virginia is home to 5 officially designated dark sky parks where stargazing is exceptional and the night sky is protected for generations to come. Jamie Hanzek of the Chapel Hill Astronomical and Observational Society describes the important role dark skies play in human health and the health of our planet. Jamie also shares night sky viewing opportunities across Virginia, including the semi-annual Star Party at Stanton River State Park that attracts stargazers from the entire East Coast and beyond. Get ready to experience a state park after dark. Let's go! Virginia Outdoor Adventures is sponsored by Virginia State Parks. Whether you're after a relaxing picnic or a 2-week vacation, leave life's daily pressures behind and reconnect with nature and family at a nearby state park. You'll find plenty of programs, events, and activities among 41 parks. Plus thousands of campsites, hundreds of cabins, more than 500 miles of trails, and convenient access to Virginia's major waterways. Beaches, picnic shelters, lodges, meeting facilities, festivals, concerts, nature and cultural programs, the list goes on. From Cumberland Gap to the Atlantic Ocean, there's something for everyone at Virginia State Parks. Discover your next state park adventure by clicking on Virginia State Parks in the show notes of your listening app. Blue Ridge Outdoors Magazine takes readers deep into the mountains, covering adventure, recreation, travel, and culture. The largest free, independent outdoor lifestyle magazine in the country, Blue Ridge Outdoors is dedicated to inspiring people in the Blue Ridge and beyond to go outside and play. Every issue includes coverage of top scenic destinations, multi-sport spotlights, interviews with inspiring adventurers, new gear reviews, and features on regional music and culture. Check out Blue Ridge Outdoors Magazine on newsstands monthly or click the link in your show notes to visit BlueRidgeOutdoors.com. Jamie, welcome to Virginia Outdoor Adventures.
Hi, Jessica. Nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
What do you love about Virginia's outdoors?
That it's open 24 hours. So let it be known that I live in North Carolina, and North Carolina shuts down its parks at sunset. Virginia parks are open, and they're beautiful parks, well taken care of. The staffs that I've dealt with have been fantastic. And then the night skies are just gorgeous.
The night skies are gorgeous here, and I'm really excited to talk about dark skies. Also, let it be known that this episode is by popular demand. I sent out a survey a couple of weeks ago, and I asked people what topics they would be interested in hearing in new episodes, and dark skies came up several times. Quite a few people requested it. So I'm really excited to finally bring this episode to the listeners because it is by request. Jamie, what was the spark that got you interested in the night sky?
Well, when I was growing up and 6, 8, 9 years old, I always was outside playing late at night and the stars would come out and we'd all stare at the stars and kind of dream about what could be. And it was also during the time of the Apollo program. And I always wanted to be an astronaut, but never knew if I was going to get there. But I always liked looking up at the stars. When I was 12 years old, I used to deliver newspapers. That was my first really paid job. And it was early morning delivery. I'd head out early, about anywhere between 4:30 and 5 o'clock to deliver my newspapers. And the skies are just always dark. And as I delivered the papers, I would stare at the sky. And there was one day that I walked out. It was just pristine. The sky was just so dark. And I noticed this one cloud that went across the sky. It went from north to south. And I just kind of stared at it on my way to deliver my newspapers. And I said, wow, that's just that one little wispy cloud up there. I wonder what that is. And just continued on and delivered all my newspapers. And on my way back, I looked up and that cloud was still there. And if you observe, and as I've learned as an amateur astronomer, looking up and observing something, as you stare at it, things start to come out of what you're staring at. Detail starts coming out. That's what started happening. I started realizing that that cloud was sparkly. And as I stared at it, I realized that those were all stars, that they were, it was not a cloud. It was all stars. And it was very humbling for a 12-year-old to be looking up at that. And it really set me back on my feet and just to realize how small I was on this little planet, but then how little the little planet was with all those stars up in the sky. Mm-hmm. And that's what really got me heading off into astronomy.
Let's talk about international dark skies and what an international dark sky park is. What does that mean?
So IDA is the International Dark Sky Association. They're an organization that is trying to preserve and protect the dark skies. So Stanton River, where we observe when we went out in 2011, we knew they were in a dark sky area, but we just didn't realize how dark the sky was going to be when we first got out there. And as the sun set, it just became apparent that as far as the East Coast is concerned, Stanton River had some really beautiful dark skies. Through the process over the years, we started talking about getting a certification for the park. As we pursued it, as far as the park and the astronomy club, CHAOS, which stands as Chapel Hill Astronomical and Observational Society, or known as CHAOS for short, we found out what we had to do to get certification. Because on the East Coast, if you've looked at the light pollution maps, there's almost no place up in New England or down the coast where there's an area that you can get to and have dark skies. And Stanton River is fortunate to have this designation. And there are various types of designations that the IDA gives out. They have gold, which would be like in Arches and Yellowstone and in national parks where they really try to preserve the skies. And then Stanton River has a silver designation, which is actually pretty good considering where it's located on the East Coast. And then there's a bronze where the sky isn't as dark as it is in Stanton River.
How many dark sky parks are in Virginia?
Well, after Stanton River became the 25th dark park in the world, Virginia went dark sky crazy. which is really exciting. They have five dark parks. They have Stanton River State Park was the first, and then there's the James River State Park, which was the second. The Natural Bridge became one. And mm-hmm. Sky Meadows and Rappahannock County Park in Washington became dark parks.
Right. So we have five of them and four of them are state parks.
Yeah. And that's just phenomenal.
And that's probably just the beginning. I'm pretty sure they're working on others.
Well, I know the goal is to get every park either certified or compliant, and which is also to become certified. The local community is also responsible to help preserve those dark skies as well. And so the parks have to work with, let's say, Stanton River State Park is working with Halifax and South Boston to make sure that they, as they change out lighting, that they will put in cutoff lighting, full cutoff lighting, so that the light stays down and doesn't go up into the sky.
We have five parks that are dark sky certified with probably more on the way. You mentioned having to be compliant. Cutoff lighting means that the lighting is directed down towards the ground, right? Not up towards the sky.
Correct.
And are there other things that need to be done as far as lighting goes? How does that work? What's required for a designation?
That's the biggest part, that it's responsible lighting. If it's not being used, turn it off. For instance, most of my experiences with Stanton River Park, so their cabins, they had, and a lot of people have these on their house, sconces where the light bulb is exposed. We're working on a certification, and as you came up over a hill and saw the cabins, you got hit with these photo bombs, these bright lights. Mm-hmm. The next time we came, they put in these full cutoff lighting where the light was shining down on the door and on the entryway, and it just killed all the rest of the light going out into the field. So that's what all the parks are trying to achieve. And even in pavilions or street lights, they're all pointing, the light is going down. Light going up into the sky is wasted light. It's wasted energy. It's wasted money. So if it's going down and taking care of what it's supposed to light, that's what it needs to do. It's working properly.
I was just thinking back to when I was at Stanton River State Park recently. So there was no white light whatsoever, but instead everything was red. And I was really impressed with how they were able to light everything so that you could still see, but with the absence of white light. Could you describe what the lighting looks like at Stanton River?
Okay. On any normal given day, if you were to drive into the park, the visitor center has that red lighting at the doorways, so that you can see the doorway, but the park is dark the rest of the way. They do have street lights, but they're all turned off. They have full control of their lighting. And the reason why they keep them turned off is so that, because they get a lot of people who come up there to stargaze. And I've been up there many times and pleased to see people out in their field or just even up by the cabins, just off the road, either stargazing with telescopes or taking images with their cameras. So for the most part, the park is dark.
Yeah. Well, when I was there, there were lines of red lights along the ground where the entrance to the parking lot was. So if you were driving in at night, you could see without having to turn on your headlights where you were going. I remember the buildings all had red film over the window so that if there were lights on inside the building, that right. light pollution wouldn't leak out of the windows. Pretty much every entrance was lit in red, and it was just really cool. And everybody who was walking around with flashlights had red flashlights.
Right. That's we do that for the park when we come up to you for the star party. It's really cool to go up to the park and take it over for a week. I show up and I tell the staff, as I said, well, we're here to take over the park for the next week. And we turn it all red. We put all those lights in, the little lights. We try to make it as safe as possible so staff can get in, guests can come in, and you know, we turn the restrooms red with tubes over the fluorescent lights. Yeah, it's fun to do. It's a fun project to do every time, and we've done it for 22 star parties now. So, but it's just the red light protects your night vision. It's kind of being like in a dark room. Photographers, you know, when they're developing film, they have red light not only to protect the film, but it also helps them see. And so you can turn off a red light and see perfectly.
So the red lights are there to protect your eyes from the damage that white light can cause.
Correct.
Because it's kind of hard to see the stars when you're blinded by the light, right?
Exactly. It takes you about 20 to 30 minutes for your eyes to get adapted to the dark.
Uh-huh.
If once your eyes are adapted, you don't need any light. You don't need a flashlight. You can see perfectly fine just with the light that's being generated by the light pollution, which we don't like.
So, Jamie, why are dark skies important?
Up until this generation, this past century and a half, skies have been dark at night. We're the first generation to have this artificial light going through the sky. And it's important. Dark sky is just natural. It's part of our health. And scientific studies have shown that, you know, people need dark skies. It's good for the body. It's good for the brain. It's good for the mind. It's important to have dark skies. A lot of people may disagree. I know a lot of people put up lights around their house to just to keep burglars away. The best kind of lighting that people ought to be putting up is motion detectors. Mm. And because, you know, they turn off, but it's important to have that night, those night skies, the dark. It's society has made it scary, and it's not scary. It's beautiful, actually. If you have nice dark skies, and you go out to one of your parks that are dark sky certified, it's amazing to see a Milky Way. It's amazing to see the planets, and if you have a local astronomy club, you know, lots of times they maybe go out to the park and do an observing session. And it's amazing to see a planet up close. And so it's just natural. I mean, if you have lights shining where, you know, it affects animals like turtles. Turtles see a bright light and they don't head to the sea. They head inland.
I've heard that about sea turtles nesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
When the nests hatch. In fact, I was lucky enough that I got to volunteer as a nest watcher a couple of summers ago, and we were waiting for a nest of sea turtles to hatch, and all of the volunteers had to have red lights.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very, very strict about that, because what they did not want were the babies to come out of the nest and not make it to the water because they were confused about what direction to move in. And also, dark skies are really important for bird migration as well.
Yes.
As a birder, I'm constantly reading articles about migration being interrupted or affected by bright light shining up into the sky. And the birds actually get trapped in it. If there's a beam of light going straight up, the birds will fly towards it and they'll get stuck flying around that beam of light, and they don't fly out of it to continue on their migration.
Right. They follow the stars. They've done studies on that, you know, they, in a planetarium, they rotate the stars around, the bird changes its direction with the stars. So dark skies is just part of nature. It's part of who we are and how our environment works.
Right.
It's just, we need to protect it. You need to save it.
And we are part of that environment. And I think sometimes people forget, because we spend so much of our lives indoors, and we forget that we are meant to be a part of the outdoors. And I feel like I see a lot of articles about sleep deprivation, physical and mental health, related to the fact that we don't sleep enough, or related to the fact that we're watching TV or we're on our devices late at night, and then that interrupts our sleep. And so I think we're finally starting to piece together the fact that we need to have darkness as part of our natural health system.
Exactly.
Breathtaking views, towering cliffs, roaring rivers, unlimited adventure. Discover the rugged beauty of Brakes Interstate Park. Deep in the heart of Southwest Virginia, Brakes is home to the 1,000-foot vertical canyon known as the Grand Canyon of the South. Every one of my trips to the Brakes have been packed with stunning hikes in a rocky geologic wonderland, mountain biking through breathtaking scenery, and rock climbing on the Appalachian sandstone that makes Brakes a climber's paradise. But some of my most memorable moments include hearing the bugle of an elk echoing through the mountains, or staring up at the majesty of the Milky Way outstretched over towering canyon walls. Don't miss your chance to experience Appalachia's greatest conservation story. Elk have returned to Southwest Virginia, and you can experience them in their natural habitat. Reservations for this spring's elk viewing bus tours are available now. With amenities such as lakefront cottages, woodland lodges, campgrounds, and the rhododendron restaurant on site, Brakes holds epic adventures for the entire family. Your adventure awaits at the Brakes. Click on Brakes Interstate Park in your show notes to visit brakespark.com. Describe how you got involved with the first dark sky park in Virginia.
Well, actually, it goes back to 2009. I live up in a dark area in North Carolina, but I was watching lights encroaching my dark skies. I moved out into the country just to get away from city light, and I noticed that these lights are starting to encroach into my dark skies. And I knew South Boston, Virginia, which is relatively close to me. I noticed a little town called Scottsburg. And as I using Google Earth, I zoomed in onto Scottsburg. And then I noticed Stanton River State Park was there. I said, oh my gosh, there's a little park here. I've never heard of this park. So as I zoomed in on that, I noticed that it had a very large field that was wide open. So I called the park and said, hey, do you guys mind if we come up, and we're a local astronomy club down in North Carolina, can we come up and use the park to use your field? And the response was, we'd love to have you. Come on up. It'd be great. And in 2011, the park manager contacted me and said, hey, you contacted us in the past. Would you mind coming up and doing some programs for us over the summer? Then we started talking to them about doing a star party. And they said, what's a star party? And we said, this is amateur astronomers. We'll come and sit out in your field, and we would stargaze because you have this resource. And they said, well, we have a program for the fall. We just need to find a program for the rest of the year. And I said, we'll take the spring too. That's what caused us to have two star parties mm-hmm. every year, because the skies in the spring are different than the skies in the fall. All the constellations are different. So about 2015, after the star party grew every year, just more and more people would show up. And in 2015, a recommendation came up saying, hey, maybe the park should apply for dark park certification through the IDA. And I'm pleased and honored to have been a part of it. And once we completed that, I was shocked at what the rest of Virginia did. The district manager would tell me, well, this is what we're doing. This is what we're doing. I would just look at him like, seriously? He goes, yeah. I said, this little star party affected the state of Virginia?
Yeah, it definitely did.
Yeah. And as he goes, yeah, it's like, wow, I'm deeply touched. This is unbelievable. That's basically what got me involved with working with the park and the IDA. And it's just a labor of love. And I'm proud that our club's a part of it.
It's a really interesting story how this all got started. But what fascinates me the most are these star parties. And we've been talking about the star party, but we haven't actually described what the star party is. So I think we need to do that. It's not just unique to Stanton River State Park, is it?
No, there's star parties all over the country. We're just one of hundreds.
So Stanton River is the host of one of these star parties.
Correct.
Where are people coming from? Are they just coming from Virginia or are they coming from other places to attend a star party?
Oh, no, they're from all over the East Coast. We have folks coming from Canada, from Florida, Georgia, South Carolina. We've had people from Alabama and Tennessee. So it's from all over the place that they come. A star party is not just sitting there and stargazing all day or all night long and sleeping all day. It's a social event. People walk up and say, what are you looking at? Well, I'm looking at the Ring Nebula, M57. And can I have a look? They said, yeah, have a look. So, you stare into it. And so you get a lot of looks through a lot of different telescopes. You discuss things about what you're viewing, find out how far away things are and how wide they are, what it's made up of. And then during the day, you get up and you just kind of relax and talk with friends. Once you've gone two or three times, you start seeing people that you recognize and you go over and you talk with them. And after a while, they become family. You're just happy to see them. Come back and talk and joke and cut up and stay up late. It's good. Mm-hmm. It's good fun.
Yeah, I definitely got that vibe when I was at the Stanton River Star Party. It was my first star party and I had a really great time, but meeting people there was really interesting. After talking to people, I come to find out that, you know, so-and-so is really good friends with so-and-so. And the only time they ever see each other is at the star party.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people come from all over the state and all over the country. And as you mentioned, even outside the country. And sometimes these star parties are the only time that people are together in the same space. They're all sharing a passion for something that they really love. And it is really fascinating to see all of these tents and these campers set out all across the field with telescopes next to all of them.
Right.
So it's really neat. And then also Stanton River State Park does an amazing job hosting you all. I mean, I had some of the best food I've had out there in a long time. I mean, props to Stephanie Allen, the office manager who puts all of that together. It's incredible what they're able to offer folks.
Right. I tell people off when they've never been there, like you, when you weren't there, I said, it's a 5-star star party. They have the best food and they have a little snack bar and they turn that snack bar into the deep space diner.
So these star parties occur twice a year, once in the spring and once in the fall. Can people attend for the whole week or is there a specific time that people should plan to attend?
The star party goes for a whole week. We have a public night and that's generally on a Friday. And then you're free to walk around the field, talk with the amateur astronomers. It's 2 hours. You can have a community of people talking around a telescope, amateur astronomers. But it's a great way to get your feet in and you don't feel like, and it's free. We talk a little bit about light pollution. We talk a little bit about the constellations and then we set you out into the field and you learn more. So it's a fun event. The public night is a fun time.
And what do you love about introducing people to astronomy and stargazing?
It's showing them the sky. So let's start off there. It's showing them something that they normally would not see on any given day. Most people don't have telescopes. We do. I do. When I go out and do an observing session, I set up my telescope. I figure out what I want to look at. And to have somebody who gets their first view of the moon that has never seen the moon through a telescope before is awesome. you know when they see it, because they look in the eyepiece and they go, oh wow, or oh my. And they just, and lots of times they'll just quickly look at the eyepiece and I'll stop them. I say, no, this, we're not a seeing session. We're an observing session. You're here in an observing session. Take 30 seconds, take some time, stare at it some longer, look at the detail. The more you look, the more you see. You can almost hear their brains grow as they stare at an object. You show somebody Jupiter and they go, oh wow, you can see the moons. That's what I love to hear. Saturn is, oh my gosh. Saturn is, if you've never seen Saturn, the first time you see Saturn, it is a religious experience. Because you see pictures of it in the book. One time I had this family show up. It was a rather large family, but I was looking at Saturn. I just said, hey, I said, I'm going to show you something here, but I don't want you to say what it is because I want it to be a surprise for the next person. But you can tell me what you see. So every time somebody would look in, they go, you hear that gasp. And it's like, okay, you see it. And I says, keep staring at it. And they just take it in and they don't say anything. Well, then the next person comes and then the two of them get together. You know, they start talking about what they saw, and then the third and the fourth. And so finally it got down to the fact everybody had, the family had looked at it except the father. I told you this before. Every time I tell a story, it chokes me up. So the father came up and the family's cheering him on. Come on, Dad, look at it. You're going to love it. You're going to love it. And he looked at me and he goes, I've never looked through a telescope before. And I said, well, this is your time. And these photons are your photons. I said, the light has traveled from the sun, hit the planet and come all the way back here. And when you look in there, those photons are yours and nobody else's. And so he looked in, he backed off and he goes, oh my, that's the most beautiful thing I had ever seen. And I said, yeah, it's pretty cool, huh? and I said, go on, take another look. This is your time. And he backed off. He had a tear in his eye. And it was cool literally touching somebody's soul through astronomy. And that happens all the time. You have little kids who are terrified climbing up a ladder to look through an eyepiece. And they get up and they see the moon for the first time. And then they come down just smiling and fit, 5-10 minutes later, that same child who was terrified going up the ladder comes flying up the ladder and says, what are you looking at? And it's just, and the parents are just sitting there laughing themselves. And I just said, looks like we touched something here. We got some interest in this child. My colleague, Robert, that was there, we just kind of looked at each other and I said, I think we touched somebody's soul here. Mm-hmm. We think we got a new astronomer.
Yeah.
So, those are the things that I love about going out, and people thank me for showing up. Oh, thank you for coming out. I said, no. Thank you for coming out. I said, I can show up and I can look at all these things, whether you're here or not. Thing is that I've seen all these things, but you haven't. And it's I'm more happy to show you these things than for me to look at them again. That's the pleasure of doing observing sessions and showing people the night skies.
Did you know that you can become a member of Virginia Outdoor Adventures? For the same price as a cup of coffee once a month, you can receive a Virginia Outdoor Adventures membership while supporting the show. Members have access to the complete list of links and resources from each episode. Members also receive Virginia Outdoor Adventures vinyl stickers and a shout out on the show. If you're enjoying this podcast, please consider supporting me. Hit pause on your podcast player, go to your show notes, and click on Buy Me a Coffee, where you can buy me a virtual coffee or sign up for a membership. My sincere gratitude for the newest members of Virginia Outdoor Adventures: Kimberly from Arlington, Ron from Bowling Green, Musa from Fairfax, Lori from Hopewell, Kevin from Yorktown, and Jennifer from Falls Church. Thank you so much for your support.
I believe it. When I was there and I met some of the people who attend the star parties, what surprised me and what I did not expect was the responses that I got when I asked people, what interests you in this? Why do you keep coming back? Why do you travel so far to attend these star parties? And some of the responses that I heard really were fascinating. People were telling me that their interest in astronomy helps them understand their place in the universe, or it helps them understand how small they are in comparison to everything else in the universe, and that it's really a life-altering experience for them. And I wasn't expecting to hear that at all, but it really is. People feel a different type of connection to the outdoors and to their place in the world when they can see it through a telescope and understand how small they are compared to the rest of existence.
Yeah, you realize how far things are. If you're looking at a galaxy, it could be 40 million light years away. And what you're seeing in that galaxy is all stars. And those stars, more than likely, have planets going around them. And, you know, is there somebody looking back? Mm-hmm. You know, we will never know. But just to realize that this huge object, well, this tiny object that you can't see without a telescope is actually very large. And we are so tiny. So, yeah, it's just, you know, we are small.
We are. And it's not just our size, but the understanding of time as well.
Exactly.
I had one gentleman tell me that once he realized how long it takes for light to actually reach his eye from where it's coming from, that he realized how insignificant or small his own lifespan is on this planet. It's just a blip in comparison to everything else.
Yeah, it really is. Really is. Just to think that the sunlight that you're looking at is 8 minutes old and it's moving at the speed of light, the fastest thing that we know, and it still took 8 minutes for it to get here is mind blowing.
Yeah. I heard you telling somebody about that at the star party. You were saying that when you're watching the sunset on the horizon, that you're not actually seeing it. The sun is actually already set. And what you're seeing is the light finally reaching you. So, you know, we think we're seeing it in real time, but it takes so long for it to get to us that the sun has actually already gone down and we're still seeing what's left of it.
We're literally looking back in time.
Yeah, it's really amazing. And there were some visitors there that night too. And you had told that story to them. And one woman said, "Oh, I just got goosebumps." And, you know, the crowd, there was just a hush over the crowd, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I think people have these experiences and it's much more than what they're expecting it to be. I think they come out thinking, "Oh, I'm going to see some constellations or I'll see a planet. It should be pretty cool." And instead they have a completely different transformational experience.
Yeah. Yeah. It's our opportunity to get people to think, you know, to get kids to think, to tell children, you know, today's age is it's all the cell phone. It's all iPads or television shows or TikTok. And it's like, no, that's here today. It's going to be gone tomorrow.
So, Jamie, what tips can you offer someone who's interested in stargazing and astronomy? Maybe somebody doesn't, or maybe somebody's not able to attend a star party, but they want to start now. What would you tell them?
Well, find some dark skies to go to. You don't need a telescope. Just take yourself and go see this what you're interested in seeing. At a local park, if you can. And of course, there's books. There's lots of things online that you can pull up and read. There's apps that you can get if you like to see the International Space Station. If you want to see the International Space Station pass overhead, there's an app that you can get. It's free. It's called ISS Detector. Once you get it going, it tells you the day, where it's going to be in the sky, how bright it's going to be. It counts down just before it shows up over the horizon. It's and then it'll also track where it is in the sky for you. There's lots of planetarium programs out there, like Skywalk 2. It shows you, you can hold it up to the sky. You can see where constellations are. Big thing is to get out into the dark skies. A pair of binoculars. If you get into really dark skies, you can find some fuzzy patches you can look at through binoculars. Find a local astronomy club near you. They're peppered throughout the country. I know Novak up in Northern Virginia has, it's like the largest club in the country. Don't run out and buy a telescope. Deter you to, from doing that, because you really should talk and figure out what you want. And that's where star parties come in, or going to observing sessions. Look at your local museum or astronomy club again. Go to their calendar, like for Chaos. When we have a website, we have a calendar, we post on there what when we're going to be observing, like up at Stanton River State Park. Sometimes we work with the local planetarium and do sessions with them. Wow, there's
lots of options, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Start off by there's astronomy magazines that you can subscribe to for a year. Yeah, there's just so much. Follow NASA. There's spaceweather.com is another site that I go to that tells you if there's a comet in the sky, or if you can see what the sun looks like without looking at the sun. You never want to look to the don't look at the sun through binoculars. There are so many options, so many different avenues that you can go to feed your hunger for astronomy.
I think the parks that are dark sky certified are usually working with a local astronomy club. Like Yes. You mentioned, Sky Meadows works with Northern Virginia Astronomical Club. I think Natural Bridge works with the Roanoke Valley Astronomical Society. So you could call one of those parks and find out, you know, if there's a local club that you could join. I also think, too, that there are planetariums, like some of the universities. UVA has a planetarium on site that's open to the public occasionally. Mm-hmm. So I think if you just go online and you Google some of that information, and I will definitely look some of it up and put it in the show notes, because I know that information is out there, but I will try to provide as much of it as I can so that listeners can just click on it in the show notes. But yeah, there's public planetariums that you can go to. And then somebody else just recently mentioned to me this wonderful program where you can loan a telescope from a local public library. Do you know anything about that?
Yes. It's not at every public library. You have to go to your public library and ask if they have that option. It's a loaner telescope. It's something that you check out like a book, take it home for a week. And if they don't have it, they probably know a branch that does have that program.
And then also, I believe that Stanton River State Park has a couple of telescopes at the visitor center that you're allowed to check out if you're staying in a cabin or on the campground, or you're just there for the night and want to use it at night. Is that right?
That is correct. They have, I think it's 8 telescopes that we have gotten for them. And we wanted to get one for every cabin. They have 8 cabins. But you don't have to stay in a cabin to use them. You can be in the campground and use them.
What steps can people take to conserve dark skies?
As you replace lights, put full cutoff lighting or protect the night skies. Turn off your lights. If you have lights that light up outside all night long, put motion detectors in. Actually, there's some programs throughout the year where they just turn off the lights. For a night, everybody in the whole town turns off the light just to and go outside and look and see how much it helps. And talk to your representatives or your town councils and say, hey, you know, I've heard about dark skies being healthy. What can we do about it in our town? There's lots that you can do. But at home, just basically turning off your outdoor lights and asking your neighbors, you know, turn off your porch light when you go to bed.
Those are really easy things people can do at home, because I know I have some neighbors who leave their lights on all night. I had to buy blackout curtains because I couldn't sleep with those lights being on, and that was disrupting my sleep. But then also my next door neighbor installed motion detector lights for safety reasons, and it turned me on to all of the things that go on in the backyard that I never would have known about. So now I'm seeing the possums and the raccoons and the fox and the flying squirrels and like all the things that I had no idea were there, or things that I would hear. But you know, you hear a rustling in the forest, you don't know what it is.
Right.
And now the light comes on and I'm like, oh, we have a visitor. it's been educational in addition to also making my neighbor feel much safer at night by having something turn on when something's moving in the yard.
But see, look all that you've seen though, you know, it draws your attention. So
it does. I would have otherwise missed it. Jamie, thank you so much for being a guest on Virginia Outdoor Adventures.
Well, thank you for having me, Jessica. It's been a lot of fun and a pleasure to be talking with you.
I hope to see you at the next star party.
Well, I hope you're there.
Adventure on. Links and resources from this episode are in the notes section of your listening app and on the website at virginiaoutdooradventures.com. If you enjoyed the show, please consider supporting me. The easiest and most impactful thing you can do is visit buymeacoffee.com/Jessica Bowser, where you can buy me a virtual coffee or sign up for a membership. Members receive access to the full list of show notes, Virginia Outdoor Adventures vinyl stickers, and a shout out on the show. You can also support me by subscribing to the show on your listening app. Help spread the word by sharing the show or your favorite episode with friends or on social media. Last but not least, leave a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. I love hearing from my listeners. You can find me on Instagram and Facebook at Virginia Outdoor Adventures or on the website VirginiaOutdoorAdventures.com. Thanks for listening. Until next time, adventure on.